All right, welcome everybody. I want to introduce, this is a special broadcast, isn't part of our normal Youngstown studio lineup, but it's going to be a new feature that we're going to do once a week. We are increasing our audience, developing this audience to hit new people, bring our content to more of you out there. And in doing so, we're going to be tackling other demographics. And one of my favorite industries and favorite pastimes is motorsports. So we hooked up with a race car driver here in Northeast Ohio. He runs a circuit for the modifieds at different tracks around Northeast Ohio and Pennsylvania. And so I'm going to bring him in on the program now. Joe, are you with me?
I should be there. You got me?
I do. Read you loud and clear. So Joe Gabrielson here is joining us from his race shop. And let's see, let's get my camera scooted over there. All right. See you real good now. Okay. So why don't you introduce to our audience who you are and where you came from? Give me some of the history of where you've been.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. So Joe Gabrielson, been born, basically born around racing. My dad raced from the 70s to 80s and actually pretty much around this area, Sharon Speedway, Raceway 7, Expo Speedway, which is based in the Trumbull County Fairgrounds. If anybody's been in the Trumbull County Fairgrounds, that racetrack used to be called Expo Speedway. So pretty much around here, and he traveled some. He actually quit the year before I was born, so I never got to see him race. But, you know, I just kind of caught the bug from an early age and started racing go-karts. I think I was about 12 years old or so, and then got in the cars at I think I was like 16 or 17, you know, racing these modifieds. I jump right from a go-kart that's like, you know, about 10 horsepower and no suspension to a modified that's like 600 horsepower and 8-inch tires and a whole lot of, you know, suspension that moves all around. So I've been going at that ever since.
Beautiful. So how'd you get involved in the mechanical side, the engines and the transmissions? How'd you get a good handle on that?
Well, pretty much my dad, really. I mean, from early on from the go-karts, you know, back when I started that, you know, I'm a 12-year-old kid, was in, you know, sports and stuff and, you know, go and do that. And but then, you know, most kids at that age, you know, you're starting to go, you know, birthday parties or whatever. And, my dad pretty much told me, well, you know, I'll help work on this thing, but I'm not working on it unless you're working on it.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I kind of learned at a very young age that, you know, I'm not just going to get to drive this, you know, show up at the racetrack and drive the thing and, you know, get the one that gets all the exposure or whatever. You know, you got to be the one here at the shop all week long working on it to get it to the racetrack. So from a very early age, you know, I learned that, you know, it takes a lot of work, time and work to get, you know, to the racetrack week in and week out. So yeah, it's basically what I, you know, pretty much learned it from him. And then I did go to, actually, when I graduated high school, I actually went out to the University of Northwestern Ohio out in Lima, Ohio. I went there for, I think it was about 3 years or so. They actually have like a high-performance motorsports program, a very good program. And I think it's grown tremendously even since I was there. I think I graduated in 2009, it's been already. A lot of background and just, I mean, heck, you know, we've always worked on just, you know, your regular vehicles at home or whatever. So just basically a motorhead, I guess you could say that's what I would be considered.
Yeah. See that. And you're the type of driver that made me sort of fall in love with motorsports is the guy that wrenches on his own car. He goes out there and he drives his heart out and you've been really successful, in your career. You've won quite a bit of races out there too.
You want to win every one, but, I mean, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't exactly happen. I guess not everybody can be, you know, Kyle Larson, who's been winning about everything he's been in lately. We've won a fair share of races and, you know, won a championship and, actually, you know, we won a pretty big, the last race that I ran, we actually didn't run at all last year, just kind of took a kind of regrouping year or whatever, took care of things around home and stuff. And, my last race was August 24th, 2019. Which actually was the Jim Bickerstaff Memorial. It was really a neat thing. Like that whole, it was like a series that a couple local folks put together, a series of like, I think it was four races. Those, like the first three were pretty decent paying for like what we would normally get. I think there were 1200 to win and I think about 120 to start or so. But then the last one was actually, it was the Memorial race for Jim Bickerstaff Sr., who was well known throughout our area back, you know, in the asphalt days, I would say what, probably 60s, 70s, 80s, somewhere in there. Some of the historians will probably be better on that than I am, but he raced more near the same time that my dad did. They never really raced against each other, but Jim was in his class or whatever, my dad was in there, and kind of at the same time, they were, I guess local heroes, really, you could say. They're both very dominant in their divisions. But so we had that race. It was August 24th, 2019. And it just kind of all worked out, really. I mean, to string one of those races together and just make the whole night successful from really minute one, it takes a lot of dedication, luck, and I don't know, I guess a little bit of skill maybe. We started, I think, fifth in that race and pretty much ran third to fifth about the whole race. And then there was 10 to go. We had a restart and I got right into second and tracked down one of our very good guys in our local area. His name is Joel Watson. One probably wins about 20 races a year in our area, and he races all over and it's very competitive wherever he goes. But tracked him down with a few laps to go and actually, passed him and went on to get that win. So yeah, that was 3,000 to win. So that's the biggest win of my career this far.
Very cool. So now, do you think with technology that the things are getting more competitive, the equipment's getting a little bit better and the tolerances are getting closer?
Yeah, no, I would definitely say so. I don't want to say that you can buy speed because you still have to have, you still got to be able to drive the car. Anybody can go out and if you got the money or somebody to help fund it for you, you can go out and buy the best equipment possible, but you still got to be able to drive the thing. And that's where you can see, there's definitely some guys out there that they're able to, compete or win with, equipment that isn't, the top, but it's just, you got to know those, techniques and processes to really fine tune, things and just make the best of what you have. So, technology's made it. And I guess just the way that, I guess the racing world has went, it used to be, back in my dad's day, you bought a stock car and you brought it home and you cut some things up and, made your own little parts or whatever and went racing, where now it's pretty much, you pretty much can buy, there's all sorts of speech. I mean, I can want my shirt, Summit Racing Equipment, that's my 9 to 5. You can buy a lot of your racing parts or car parts or whatever from stores like Summit. So, that's definitely made it, just easier just for, you don't even have to know a whole lot really about the cars. You just call up these places and, let them know what you're working on and, they get you the parts that you need.
So a lot of what we do is sort of telling the story to inspire other people. And a lot of, our younger audiences who may have not considered getting in racing, what would you give advice wise about somebody who's in their younger, what's a good way to get started in competitive racing?
Just getting involved to start, not even driving yet, but just getting involved, getting your parent, if you're not young enough to drive yet, get your parents, to get you to the racetrack. Just spectating, you can learn a lot. But then, get down in the pits, get a pit pass, get down the pits and just, walk around the pits. And trust me, there's always drivers that are, just looking for a hand and, kind of get involved that way. And, you get fortunate enough to get in a car and, just kind of go from there.
Now you've done a lot on dirt. Have you done any asphalt stuff?
No, nope. Actually, it's kind of funny you said that. That's honestly about where we almost started racing asphalt trucks.
No back kidding.
That's where I was initially going to go from the go-karts to the trucks. We were almost to the point to where, back then, it was all pretty much my dad's funding. I was 16 years old. My dad was going to be on a phone call to call this guy to buy this asphalt truck, and we were going to go racing at Lake Erie Speedway and then Mansfield, which Mansfield's closed now, I think. But it just ended up to where talking with an older friend of ours that's been around racing for a long time and kind of realized those two tracks are each of them, Lake Erie's 2 hours north, Mansfield's 2 hours south. So you're having all that travel racing two nights, right back to back. And then the roles were different. So we kind of looked at it, we don't think that this is going to be the best way to go when, we have Sharon Speedway that's 20 minutes from the house and you have Raceway 7 that's an hour up the road. And you can run the same tires, same rules package and everything. So that's kind of what we went with. But yeah, we did. I've always kind of wondered, hey, what would it, when it started asphalt racing, how would that have went? So if I ever got the chance, I would definitely probably jump in one. But yeah, that was my almost, you know, went asphalt racing kind of story. Yeah.
All right. So we got, you're racing at Sharon Speedway this weekend, and yep. We talked to Sharon and they offered 4 tickets to give away during this broadcast. Now we won't necessarily do it during this broadcast, but we'll allow someone in the comments maybe later on in the day to claim these things. Do you have any creative ideas for how we should give away these 4 VIP tickets to the track this weekend?
Any ideas? I don't know. Maybe there's, I mean, some questions, I guess, could be a thing. Could always ask a couple questions, like about my racing history, the family's racing history, stuff like that.
Sure. All right. So we'll let throughout the program, if Joe's going to drop some kind of question out there, if you respond in the comments, we'll have Joe hand over. We'll just need your name and we'll put you on the VIP list at Sharon to go watch him hit the track this weekend. So speaking of that, tell me what we're in store for this weekend. What do you got planned?
So we'll be going out to Sharon Speedway. It'll be the first race of the year. 0 laps on a fresh brand new race car that we've been really working on the past month or so. I got it kind of late March, and so kind of got a late start to it. And I'm a detailed process kind of guy. So things that might take somebody else 5 minutes, going to take me, 10 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever. But we're getting, it's there. It's pretty much ready to go. But yeah, so we'll be out at Sharon Saturday. It's UMP modified. It's 1,000 to win, so it's a little bit race first from what we would typically race with on a weekly basis. I think we have, there would have been 5 total races, but I think we got one canceled. It was in May. So that's where we'll be out there Saturday at Sharon. I believe races start at 7. I think probably the grandstands open around 5 o'clock or so. Nice concession. It's probably, if nobody's ever been there, it's something just to go experience for one time. I'm not just saying that because I've been there since I was a kid. I've been to a lot of racetracks throughout the country. It's honestly probably one of the top 10 facilities in the whole country for a dirt track. Now, it's not Daytona International Speedway, but if you go to dirt tracks at all or any, it's a beautiful facility. That's right in our backyard. So what is it? Half an hour or so from Youngstown area.
Hey, how many cars are usually in your class for your features?
They'll start at the most of 24. And it just depends. Sometimes you'll have a little bit less to show up. Sometimes you'll have more than 24. So you end up actually having to, if you're not fortunate enough to make it through a heat race, that's like your qualifying race to get into the feature. You'll have to run what's called a B main. So that's kind of like your last chance to get into the race. And if you don't, finish far enough up in that B main, then, you go in the trailer on the trailer, I guess. And, you take, they basically call it like tow money just for showing up. So typically it's 24 cars is what would start the race.
Okay. And so you would consider Sharon more of your home track. You've probably been there more than any of the other tracks around the area.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. It's 20 minutes from home. Like we race there weekly, for years, and then actually we kind of went away. We're not a weekly division anymore, but yeah, Sharon's definitely the home track.
And do you have a favorite line to run at that track? Not to give anything away where you're intending to run, but
no, not really. It's just wherever that's the thing about dirt racing is the racetrack changes. Throughout a race, let alone through the night,
really
throughout a race. Oh yeah. Maybe not so much a heat race, but definitely in like a feature, if it's 20 laps or so, that the better line can change throughout the race. And that's kind of thing is, especially now, we've changed up the rules package. We were kind of about the only ones throughout the country for these type of modifieds, that we were on like softer tires of what most of them were out and around the country. And we were on like an 8-inch spoiler. We're a UMP sanctioned track. And actually there's a few of us in the area, a few tracks in the area that are UMP. And they go to a harder tire and you eliminate, you had an 8-inch spoiler, which creates a ton of downforce. Even, at the speeds, we're probably average speed. I think it's about 75, 76 average speed, is what it is. Even at that speed, you put a big old spoiler on the back of your sedan that you drive daily. It's going to have a ton of downforce. Now, on a regular car, maybe pick up the front end, but on ours, it creates a ton of downforce. And well, that creates traction in a rear-wheel drive car. So now you take that away. You got to find other ways to find that traction and speed, to go just as fast, if not faster.
Now I see that covered vehicle behind you. Yeah, this is the new car, and it's a secret what's underneath that sheet, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Usually I wanted to try to do something different this year, because really the social media is a beautiful thing, and, you know, it lets everybody see what's going on, that kind of thing. And pretty much the way it's been, I don't know, for past 5, 6, probably 10 years more than that. You'll see like what the wrap design is before it ever even goes on a car. And then, you know, as soon as that's done, you know, the pictures are posted and stuff. So I don't know. I'm kind of a old school kind of guy, I guess, you know, like, you know, there was no social media stuff back when my dad was racing and that kind of thing. And I just thought, you know what? I just want to do it to where, really, unless you've been at the shop, you're going to have absolutely no, you know what the car looks like, but you have no idea what the design is going to look like now. So that's kind of what I wanted to go with. And
okay.
Yeah, maybe call it quirky or whatever, but I mean, I don't know. It's just not all it'd be. I want it to be like a surprise or whatever, you know, when that thing rolls out of the trailer, then everybody will start to see what it looks like.
Any superstitions going into a race?
You have like a sequence of like how you put on like your suit and your shoes and stuff like that. I mean,
walk
I
around the car 3 times before you get in, that kind of
right.
thing.
Right. Yeah. And I don't want to say like rituals or stuff, but my wife, Rochelle, we've been together for over 15 years now. So pretty much she's been at all of my races except for like, you know, the first year that I raced. But we have, hug and kiss, whatever, you know, before you get in the car. I mean, we are in a dangerous sport. I mean, that's a given. I mean, that you're never guaranteed to come back off the racetrack, you know, when you go on it. So that's just something, you know, we've always done. And, but yeah, so I definitely have, you know, superstitions and, I guess little procedures that I do pretty much every night of racing.
And how's the equipment these days in dirt track? Do you feel pretty safe though with the way that they're constructed and the safety equipment that's inside the car?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I look at. Like, I mean, one, when you go to, you know, buy a race car, you know, or, you know, for this, you know, like, you know, this is a new one or whatever, but, you just pay attention to, like, you know, cause you're going to get in a, like, crashes happen. It is our type of racing. I mean, it's close contact racing. You're on a dirt track. You're with 23 other guys on the racetrack. Like, and incidents are going to happen. It's just the nature of our type of racing. So yeah, that's definitely something I look at. So the one thing is, you know, if, you know, your brand of car gets in a crash, like, how did that fare in that crash? Cause you're always going to see pictures of the aftermath and that kind of thing. When you make sure the cage, you know, doesn't collapse down and the stuff around the drivers all nice and intact. And then, you know, I mean, everything from your racing shoes, your gloves, your suit, your helmet and all that, like, that's something I've never skimped on. And, actually this year we even upgraded, like I've run they call them like a safe seat. So it kind of gives you more like wraps around your shoulders. Your headrests are thicker. So I've ran one of those for probably about 10 years now. But now they even have like SFI rated ones. And for our class starting next year, you're required to have one. So I figured, well, instead of drilling one set, cause you got to, you know, drill holes in the car to bolt the seat in. So instead of drilling one set of holes for my old seat to then just drill new sets of holes probably next year, cause the seats aren't all the same, let's go ahead and get one of those SFI seats now. So I've got one of those, and it's definitely, it's a Kirky brand, which is a popular brand for a lot of different race cars. And I've bought one of those. So yeah, it's actually SFI rated. So that's a safety foundation that they do, you know, all kinds of stuff is rated through those. So yeah, it's definitely very sturdy. You know, I guess you kind of, you know, you want to feel like you're in a cocoon in a race car. And I definitely feel like that, you know, when I'm bolted in there, as safe as I can possibly be is the way I feel. So.
Okay. Now you're a very calm, humble guy. And I know racing sometimes gets you, you know, to boil over at times. Have you ever popped off in a race?
Yeah, usually that just, I mean, I usually get it out of my system while I'm in the car pretty
okay.
much. I mean, or like, you know, I guess I'll get out of the car and, you know, you'll be mad, like up in the trailer or something, but I try not to be like, say even something happened where it feels like something, like some other driver, like you feel it like intentionally hit you or whatever. Like something that my dad just, you know, taught me again, you know, a lot of this stuff just is all repetition and stuff I've learned from my dad over the years, but something he taught me clear is like, you know, don't just go, basically don't act on emotion, you know, act with logic and thought before you just go. And so, you know, you try to get back to the trailer and just kind of reprocess, okay, what actually just happened, try to calm down a little bit. And then maybe either, you know, later that night or even, you know, in the following week, like that would be something where you would just, you know, walk up to the driver or call him on the phone and you just be calm about it and just kind of say, hey, you know, what happened out there? It kind of feels like maybe you ran into it, but you don't go, you know, naming names or pointing fingers or pushing them around or whatever, you know, it's hard to do. Trust me. Like it's hard to get that to where you don't overreact. And I mean, hey, I mean, it could happen. I mean, that's what, you know, that kind of thing happens, but I try my best to, you got to think about it first and then, you know, don't just react to it, I guess is kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, because these cars can't be cheap. And if you got some bonehead that tears up equipment for whatever, that's got to get under you a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, especially like, you know, with this one, the way that I've put it together, I didn't buy it like all complete. Like I've done a lot of this myself. So, you know, not only the cost of it, but the, you know, the time. I mean, right. I've spent multiple nights. I've been out here all night, you know, a few times, you know, getting this thing together. And I've definitely had some help here along the way. I mean, that's greatly appreciated, you know, just actually gotten some help that, you know, just they, you know, just offered. So that's when you get some help on something like that, that's really cool. But yeah, the cost and time involved and, you know, all the work put into it. And then you go out there and, you know, you get crashed up or whatever. It's definitely, it gives you an eerie feeling. And yeah, it's not pleasant.
Yeah, we plan on, you know, through our partnership with your race team, that we're going to bring a lot of attention to you, and we'd like to see a smaller operation grow up to a great big operation. So, I mean, if you could do racing full time, would you do it?
Absolutely.
In a heartbeat, yeah. Right?
Yeah. That's a dumb question. Yeah. I mean, that's all I've ever wanted to do, really. I mean, yeah. I mean, if it could get to that point, absolutely. I'd love to be able to do that. I mean, I'd have to imagine about any racer's dream. That's what it would be able to do, you know, to be able to do that for you.
Like, we're going
to
do it. It's you and I, man. We're going to tag team on this and we're going to get it going.
Yeah. Your passion is, you know, to get out there and drive and compete. And, you know, if you're able to do that for a living, that would be awesome.
So did you think of any creative things to throw out there for a question to win these tickets? Come up with anything yet?
Let's see. I mean, one I was thinking of is, I guess it'd have to be, it's kind of hard. Like how do you make it like open to where just about anybody could answer a question, but anything I've thought of is pretty much involved. Like you'd have to have already been at the racetrack, I think. Kind of.
Yeah. Well, this audience, the people we're going to introduce you to, these are maybe, you know, in Youngstown down south of the track, maybe would say, hey, this track might be an interesting place to visit. Might not have a big experience with the racers or the individual. So let's try to put like a general racing question out there that maybe applies to the dirt track. What could we come up with?
Okay, actually, I guess, I mean, if we want to go, I can come up with a real simple one there.
All right, let's do it.
I mean, if anybody's paid attention to like any of the news or anything, I'm thinking they should be able to see, or social media at all.
Okay.
There's a current NASCAR driver who we've actually already kind of talked about here that has basically been winning in anything he jumps in, including dirt cars. He's won in dirt late models and sprint cars on the dirt. If somebody can come up with who that, there's a NASCAR driver, current NASCAR driver. He actually just recently won this past weekend. If somebody can comment in with that name of that NASCAR driver that's won these, you know, dirt late model races, sprint car races, I think that, you know, they can comment
right in. And probably comment on this video, and then Joe and I will keep an eye on the comments throughout the rest of the today and tomorrow. And the first person to name that driver will give them the name over to the track, and you'll be put on the VIP list to get in the track this weekend.
Sounds good.
All right.
I think that should be an easy one. The ones I had thought was going to involve, you'd have to pretty much know the car or know our history. But I like, you know, I want to try to.
We'll wait down the road till we school all these people on what racing is all about. We'll create some new fans out of it, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'd say that's a goal. Actually, I just kind of a side story. I just had a buddy from work just took his family to the racetrack. It was his boys are like 5 and 7 or something like that. You know, younger kids. And it was their first time at the racetrack. And he said they absolutely loved it. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, just to go and experience it for one time. And I mean, you can be, you know, hooked for life, or, you know, just something to go do once in a while. I mean, that's just the, it's just like anything else, you know, some, you know, go to a concert once in a while or whatever, but yeah, getting people in the dirt. It's just a cool experience. Like, it's like, just cause it's a dirt track, like, yeah, you might get a little bit dirty or whatever, but you know, you don't wear your clothes that you're going out to dinner with the wife in. You know, you wear some casual clothes or whatever and go out to the racetrack and have some good food and a nice cold beverage and just enjoy the night.
You know what my favorite is? Like, this thing hits me no matter where I'm at, is racing fuel, the burning racing fuel. Like, it's unmistakable. If you've never been to a racetrack, you don't know what I'm really talking about, but it'll stick with you forever.
Yep. Yeah, there's definitely, and I mean, it's depending on what cars are on the racetrack, there's like different smells, because like they run different fuels. Like a sprint car runs on what's called methanol alcohol. Like, those have their own kind of smell, so to say, or then sound. Like, they're very, I don't want to say high pitch, but like, they rev very high. So they kind of there's a certain sound that certain cars make.
Oh, yeah.
And then like a dirt late model or a UMP modified, like I run, you know, they kind of have their sound or, you know, smell from the type of fuel they run. So yeah, that's definitely obviously that stuck with you. That's definitely something that would, you know, stick with somebody, or just the way that, you know, these cars go around the racetrack. Like, you know, you think of your typical street car, like you go around a corner and you kind of feel it roll a little bit. Like these things, like, you know, they have a ton of travel in the right front corner and then the left rear corner. So, you know, they're sitting around the ground, they're kind of all nice and flat. And then they go around the racetrack and the, you know, the right front base of your bumper is almost in the racetrack and the left rear of the car is, you know, way up in the air. So they just, you know, they kind of looks crazy. Like, how is that thing going on the racetrack?
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely it's experience all on its own. Just, you know, just to get out there and experience it just one time, you know, just go check it out.
All right. So we're going to wrap up there. We plan on doing a bunch of these things where we're going to really get to know you and your race team. We're going to get other people involved. We're going to come out to the track and see a bunch of times. So if you want to talk to the fans here, and if they wanted to find you at the racetrack, what would they look for?
Well, I don't want to give away the car.
Yeah, okay, right. So the number, what number is your car?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can at least do that. That's pretty much, I mean, I guess I could say, you know, white and purple. We've always been white and purple. So look for like a white kind of car, and there's probably a purple 58 on it.
Okay.
Yeah, look for that.
All right.
And usually I'm pretty much close by. I don't linger around too much. So yeah, usually you'll see my face probably around there. So.
All right. It looks like Leah Stillwell just guessed your driver. Did you see that?
Yep, I see that.
All right. So Leah, you are the winner of these four. We will make sure that Joe, make sure that you talk to the Speedway, let them know that Leah will have four tickets to this weekend's event. We'd have to wait long for that, did we?
No, we didn't. Oh, cool.
Cool, Joe. Well, thank you for giving me some time here today, and plan on once a week. Next week we'll have a race to talk about. So what we said, Tuesday, we're going to come back and do another one of these, right?
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Yeah, no, and I definitely appreciate the time, and you know, look forward to continuing this on. I mean, maybe we call it the Joe and Joe Racing Show. I don't know.
There you go. All right. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. Guys, we'll check back with you next Tuesday. Make sure if you can head out to the track, visit Sharon Speedway. It is a jewel in our area. If you've never been there, it's a great place to visit. So have a great one. We'll see you next Tuesday.